Apparently, if the first five books of the Old Testament were written by Moses, there's something that is very strange why this should be written. In the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse 3. Now, the man Moses was very humble. He said, wait a minute, did you just say that Moses wrote it? Right? You and I are taught that the first five books are the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And look at what he wrote. Now, the man Moses, talking about himself. Thank you very much. He put it in bracket. Don't think brackets were invented yet. We put it in brackets for him, right? Okay. The man Moses was not just humble, very humble. More than all men who were on the face of the earth. Wow. He is not just being humble, he is the, if there's such an English word, the most humble man in all the earth. What kind of humility is this? Very strange words. I find it very strange. And it occurred in a place where he was being challenged. And since it's the Word of God, I accept it as it is, but I find it very strange. And it talks about a misunderstanding between Miriam and Aaron and the quarreling about the Ethiopian wife of Moses. And it says in verse 3, he was very humble. Now, let's see. What's the Hebrew word for humble there? Same anav. So somebody could have recorded it there. Thank you very much. He is coming. Jim is coming in defense of Moses. he's saying possibly, you know, somebody was writing this on behalf of Moses. He wrote about Moses in the third person and says, you know, Moses was the most humble man. You see, for Moses, if he wrote it, to write that he is the most humble man is wrong. But if somebody write about him, that's okay. It's strange. What a quality that if you're conscious that you're humble, you no longer are humble. And so it is a possibility, because at the end of Deuteronomy 34, Moses died and all those things. So somebody else was continuing those writings and on his behalf. So, well, that's a good defense of Moses. On the other hand, remember that one quality in Moses that did stand out at one time when he was impatient with the Israelites, and the one reason why he cannot enter the promised land? It was because he lost his temper. He lost his temper. And having lost his temper, God says he can't enter the promised land. Now, if that is so, if Moses still has a little bit of this anger within him, then he's not 100% humble. He's not 100% humble. Because there's still a bit of self inside there. But we take it as it is that at that point in his life, in Numbers chapter 12, we take it as it is that at that point in his life, in Numbers chapter 12, since it's the Word of God in verse 3, that at that point, he was, and he has a quality of being humble, one of the most humble men in the earth. But the context of it shows that there's something to the quality of humility that we need to look at. One of the qualities that we have considered is the fact that humility is in a sense, and okay, was just thinking of one funny joke, but I won't bring that in. And in a sense of humility, we have. Now think about this. Here am I preaching a message on humble, and I'm going to stick a piece of tissue horribly into my nose. Because my nose is bleeding. And it will go off in a few minutes, but this is really humiliating. But I think it serves the purpose, right? Just for the teaching today, I'm glad they don't have a video recording, right? That's right. I should put one on the other side and then choke to death at the same time. But for it's false humility. So we have accusations of false humility coming in now. But it's a quality of humility. And normally I don't do it, but I feel that it's all right to do it for today, right? Otherwise, the dignified way I would do it is just occasionally put a tissue there, you know, put a tissue there. It looks so dignified, right? Forget about it for today. And as far as we are concerned, the word humility, as we know from the word anaf, speaks about self-affliction. That's a quality in which we have to do it. Now, the teaching that is coming forth is, if we don't do it, circumstances and God will do it to us. Therefore, it is a quality that we need to somehow make ourselves low. And I like the Hebrew word for humility. It's not a degrading word. It's the word shafel, which means to make one low before God, kind of to worship Him. Here's another little Hebrew word. And that's the word kanah, K-A-N-A, kanah. And that's the word used in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. And in this particular passage, in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, it talks about the people repenting from their sins or turning away from their sins to God. But there is a strange usage of someone who used to oppose God. And the person's name is Ahab. Look at what happened in 1 Kings 21, verse 29. 1 Kings 21, verse 29. Let's turn to that passage in the Bible. 1 Kings 21, verse 29. And praise the Lord. I think sometimes God has His sense of humor. Right. Praise the Lord. 1 Kings 21, verse 29. It says here, see how Ahab has humbled himself before me, because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the calamity in his days. In the days of his son, I will bring the calamity on his house. Because of Ahab's humbling himself before God. Now you and I know what a horrible person Ahab was. And he had a horrible wife called Jezebel. They were among the most evil people to rule Israel. In spite of all the terrible sins that they have done, terrible idol worship that he has done, I believe he never fully repented. Because if he fully repented, from then onward he would do good things, correct?
It just shows that for that moment of time, after he was convicted of the sin of robbing his neighbor's vineyard, when Elijah confronted him, just for that moment, he felt a measure of sorrow and he actually fasted. He actually fasted. He actually afflicted himself. In a way, can I use these words here? To afflict oneself, please take it in context, punish oneself. Just to bring across some stronger word. To afflict oneself, to punish oneself. And so Ahab, in a sense, felt a degree of sorrow, and he was punishing himself by fasting and prayer. And God saw him, quote unquote, punish himself and says, oh, he already has punished himself. And, you know, I'll let him go on this. That's very strange. Don't you think so? After all the evil he has done, I mean, if one of us were God at that time, we'll never let him go. Say, oh no, he's not fully repentant. Let me show good works first. So here's the sense of the word kana. What does the word kana say to you, Jim?
Normally used, I suppose. Sorry, if an army comes in and say overcomes a people, then you would say that they put them into sort of suppression. So you could, where it's got humble themselves in Chronicles 7:14, you could actually say submit yourselves, because it's virtually submitting oneself to someone else. That's the type of thing that it's normally used.
Okay. Kana. Let's have a look at kana. Its usage in the Old Testament. And we always like to be as biblical as possible. Kana. Here we go. Yes, you're right in here. Four times it is translated as be brought to subjection.
Yeah.
Yes. You're going to add something? Yep. Okay. Now it tells us here, be brought to subjection, translated about four times. Be brought under, translated one time. Be humbled two times. Be subdued five times. Humble self 16 times. To bring down three times. Bring low two times. To subdue, translated six times. Those are the translations of the Hebrew word kana. The word humble. So kana is different from anav. Anav is to afflict, like punish. Kana is to bring one under authority. To bring one under subjection. To sort of bring some rule of law under it. Now both brings out the strength of the meaning here. That humility is a strange quality. It has to be done to oneself. If we don't do it to ourselves, circumstances will do it. And God will do it. So you and I have only three choices. In terms of humility, we only got three choices. Either you do it to yourself, either circumstances do it to you, or either God do it to you. There's no other room to maneuver.
And if we understand what the word says, let's do it to oneself.